I remember when I first discovered Blaise Pascal.
Yeah.
He was the one for me that really began to open my eyes to this this heritage that we have, mm-hmm. that we can look to so many people that were very curious about the world, mm-hmm. were very intelligent, mm-hmm. and had a very deep faith.
Yeah.
And when I began to read not only his work in math, but also his work in philosophy, mm-hmm. and in theology, and to see how there was no conflict, yeah. in there. That was a turning point for me to say, you know what, I can accept my faith and also continue to, you know, I don't have to turn off my brain.
Yes.
You know, to have faith.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another Nerding Out with That Nerdy Catholic. I am Seth Payne. I'm here with my co-nerd Cesar Rios, and we are once again here to talk about the truth of the world. We have just finished a long series on the history of math, mm-hmm. and we want to continue to this conversation about math, but we want to take a break. And we jumped into this series. We started taping a couple months ago, yeah. and we jumped into this series right away on math and the history of math. But I said the first episode that we were going to kind of step back and introduce Cesar, mm-hmm. but also talk about why we're doing this. So that is what we want to do today. We want to just take a short time to step back and talk about why each of us are here and why we want to do these videos on math, on science, and on different topics, mm-hmm. and how they relate to our faith. Before we jump into it, I want to remind you that we would love for you to subscribe to this channel, like it, and share it, just to be able to get the word out. We also want to let you know that we have merch available. You see the shirts that we're wearing, mugs, things to show the world that you are a nerd and you're proud of it, and that you're not going to let it stand in the way of your faith, or vice versa. If you go over to thatnerdycatholic.com, you can sign up for an email list, and you'll get an update on when we put new things out, anything new that's going on in the nerdy Catholic world.
And also, we promise we are not going to bombard your email, yeah. so yes, don't yes, worry about yes. that. And really subscribe. You will be up to the news.
Yeah. And we're not going to share your information with anyone, we promise. So
that's true.
So Cesar and I wanted to share with you why we both wanted to do this. This series, why I started That Nerdy Catholic a few years ago. I grew up in an evangelical church. You know, I became Catholic about 16 years ago. And so I grew up with a lot of people that believed in a young earth, mm-hmm. that believed in 7 days of creation. I remember growing up hearing a number of sermons and also even having some people come and talk about ways to argue with people, mm-hmm. to help them understand why we believe that the earth was created in 7 days, mm-hmm. and why the earth is only, depending on who you're talking to, 7,000 or 10,000 years old. And so that, I remember believing that, mm-hmm. when I was a kid. I didn't have any reason to believe otherwise. And as I grew, as I got into I think especially high school, mm-hmm. and started taking different science classes, mm-hmm. looking for, learning about evolution, learning about astronomy, learning about the size of the universe, learning about, the age of the universe that people, mm-hmm. talked about in different science classes, learning about geology,
yeah.
Learning about, the dinosaurs. I began to see a world that conflicted, mm-hmm. with the world that I was learning about at church, mm-hmm. and so And so I think, you know, for me, and I think this is a very common thing for a lot of people, that I started asking, you know, some tough questions. And unfortunately for me and for a lot of people, the people that I knew at church were not equipped to answer those questions. And so it created a conflict in myself.
You know, I have a similar beginner. I was always raised Catholic. My mom and dad were Catholic. I went to a Catholic church. But this is a bit bad. I started, for some reason, I attend to a school, you know, that it was a Methodist school. This is really fun. The first 6 years, I mean, from first grade to sixth grade, I really have no conflict, no, because you know I went to the to my I attend to mass every Sunday, but also we have religion class in the school, and I was learning both things, kind of the same, no, the creation, Jesus Christ, the miracle of Jesus Christ, no. And the different passages of Genesis, Exodus, no, it was like the Bible became kind of a story to me, no, a special story, which I didn't see any conflict until, as you mentioned before, similar to your experience, Seth, when I started in high school, you know, then things start to divert there, no, and that was the first difference, no. I noticed start saying, you know, you are not supposed to adore idols, and you are not supposed to have idols, no.
Yeah,
and they emphasize a lot that, and they say, well, I have, you know, I remember also going to church. There was the statue of Mary, the statue of Joseph. They, what's going on here, no? Mm-hmm. And that, in that moment, that start my search for my true faith, because I saw the conflict, no?
Yeah.
And then as I was finishing high school and starting also the university, the concept of evolution, long eras, geological eras, and the dinosaurs and things like that, so that also triggers me the search.
Yeah. You know?
Although I have to say that I was really blessed to, and maybe this is because of my mom and dad. I will say especially a little more because of my mom. My faith was intact. I have faith, but I want answers at the same time. No, I started believing that, even though I will say I didn't have kind of a connection there with God, I always have, let's say, that fear of God. So something's going on here, but you know, I don't want to accept that God that created the universe. That's kind of a bad idea in my, you know, and but that starts my search. That's really started my search. Yeah. You know?
I remember back when I started college, it was probably towards the end of my freshman year. My first major was a Bible major. I went to a small evangelical college in Pennsylvania. And I remember the beginning of this process of kind of walking away from my faith. And I would say that the two reasons were this conflict with my faith and reason, and this, you know, seeing the way, especially at a small Christian college, seeing the way people lived, and saying, you know, they say they're Christians, and they talk like Christians sometimes, but a lot of the time they don't live like Christians. And I saw this hypocrisy, and that led me to a few years where I'm like, you know, I still went to church, but I'm like, I didn't really believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was looking into different, you know, other faiths. I remember spending a few years studying different Eastern philosophies. Mm-hmm. But then I got to a point where I was in my early 20s and I had moved from Pennsylvania back to the Boston area where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And I started going to this church, and I had a period of rediscovering my faith. Mm-hmm. And one of the neat things about that time was this is a pretty large non-denominational church just mm-hmm. outside of Boston. Mm-hmm. And I met some new people, met some new friends. Some of the people that I met were, they worked at MIT. Mm-hmm. And so here are these people that were very smart, mm-hmm. and yet they had a strong faith. Mm-hmm. And I remember that was the beginning of this time where I said, well, wait a second, maybe there isn't a conflict.
I did have a similar. I attend to a Catholic university too, no? But I will say, although I never lose my faith per se, I never stop believing. I was basically surrounded by I don't know how to say this, but with people that doesn't believe and do mm-hmm. and party and do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So I have to recognize I was weak, no. Mm-hmm. So to strongly follow what I believe, no. And but that gets me to the point that, you know, I think God always have mercy on me, because sometimes I fail or I feel the pain and I get back to Him. Mm-hmm. You know, as. And in one of these instances, I discover a community of people that pray together, that get deeper into the faith. Mm-hmm. You know, the leader of this community, he was really a very wise man. He was a philosopher. He knows a lot about theology and the Bible. And we have nice conversation. And the end of that, we always have ended up in the adoration chapel. Mm. You know, long hours in the adoration chapel. I think that kept my faith. And that starts at that moment, and I start searching for those conflicts. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of people start saying, you know, because I always did have my heart interested in math and science. When mm-hmm. when I was, I forgot to mention this, when I was in high school, I always have the Baldor mathematical books, you know, mm-hmm. arithmetic, algebra, trigonometry, and geometry. Mm-hmm. My father has bought me a second hand of each of those volumes. Those were books like this. Mm-hmm. but I read them all, really. In my spare time, I love reading those books and having my pencil and my pen and to prove. So I was that nerd. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But you know, when the hard questions came, you know, when evolution against what the Genesis said, or you know, the people saying that there was also explanation for the origin of life, the origin mm-hmm. of the universe, mm-hmm. that doesn't need God. I'm start to dig into my faith. Mm-hmm. I start with that help also of this community, I start also to understand what the Catholic, because that this is important, no? What our Catholic faith says and what it doesn't say, mm-hmm. and what mm-hmm. other people think that the Catholic faith say, yeah. but it's not yeah. true. So yeah. I started to differentiate those three things, and then I think I was blessed because I start to look for patterns there,
yeah.
that's around my faith, no?
Yeah.
But I have to agree with you. university can be very, very difficult times. And even though I have faith, I will say I fell short because I was weak. I didn't pray enough.
Well, that period of life for everyone, that's a period where you are really discovering where, you know, who you are. And you are realizing how many things you believed growing up just because your parents said so, right?
Yes.
And so that's a period that's something that everyone has to go through. And it can be a very difficult time, intellectually, emotionally, to let go, and rediscover, or just let go of things that you were a part of your life for your whole life up to that point. I remember then looking, beginning my journey into the Catholic Church. And one of the things that drew me into the church was the fact that the church, like you just said, there are things that the church says and the things that the church doesn't say. But there's nothing that the church doesn't have anything to say about.
Yes.
like the church will not say, this is how, this is exactly how creation happened.
Exactly.
But it has a lot to say on the creation of the world.
Yes.
In my evangelical world growing up, like I was saying, that there are a lot of people that talked about and believed in a young earth. And so, one of the arguments that a lot of non-Catholic Christians have against the Catholic Church is it is very dogmatic.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, my experience as far as, the story of creation was very dogmatic. Like, this is exactly how that happened, because this is exactly how it says it in scripture. It was a very literalistic view of scripture, and so we need to read it exactly the way it says, and therefore there was a first day, a second day. but starting to discover the intellectual patrimony of the church, we just spent a number of episodes talking about the history of math. And a number of, especially in the last few episodes, a number of these mathematicians and scientists were Catholic. And they studied math, they studied the physics, the universe, because they wanted to understand better this world that God created, because they believed that God created it.
Yeah, and I will say, for example, that's why you remember the episode with Galileo Galilei?
Yep.
That was one of years ago, that was one of the key turning points. And I discovered that around when I was in this group, So what the church is, we call it black legends of the church. So what people believe the church did, but it's actually not. So that's when I was so passionate when you say, let's do a whole episode about Galileo. You say, yes! When I spread the word about this thing, because Galileo is just one small example of what people think about the church. A dogmatic church that says no, which is not true at all.
Yeah.
And that was not really what happened, because we do have, we do have, how we know about this, the judgment and what happened and what the church said and what doesn't, because we do have the documents until right now. We do have that. But there's a legend around that, And whenever you hear a rumor, you tend to believe in the rumor, especially if the rumor is widespread. Oh, that must be the truth. Instead of going to the source. And like that, I discovered a lot of things about the church and about science. So it's I don't know how to say this, but it was like a master plan through the how the history to make the church look wrong and to make that conflict between science and the church, which it isn't. There is none.
For me, I remember when I first discovered Blaise Pascal.
He
was the one for me that really began to open my eyes to this this heritage that we have, that we can look to so many people that we're very curious about the world, we're very intelligent, and had a very deep faith. And when I began to read not only his work in math, but also his work in philosophy and in theology, and to see how there was no conflict in there, that was a turning point for me to say, you know what, I can accept my faith and also continue to, you know, I don't have to turn off my brain to have faith. So one of the things, and this is not for either of us, this is not, you know, we've not gotten to a point where, you know, we have all the answers, you know, and we're set and we just have to tell people all the truth. You know, we're still growing, both in our understanding of the universe and also under understanding of God. But for me, when I began to, I guess one way to explain it is I remember having these experiences in high school of, I remember there were different, you know, youth events, you know, at church, different retreats, but I began to form this image of this box, and in my mind it was a box built of brick walls, and that inside that box was the image that I had of God, and I came to realize, no, God is so much bigger than this image, that I was putting him in a box. And he existed outside of that box. And I feel like over the years, that box has gotten bigger. And yet I've still come to a point where I've said, you know what? I still am putting God in a box. You know, God is so much bigger. This God of a seven-day creation is very small. This God that we hear a lot of atheists talk about is very small. When I discovered Thomas Aquinas, I, you know, you're talking about God as being itself. That it doesn't matter how big you see the universe, God is infinitely bigger. That God is. When I began to look at different parts of scripture from this view of how big God really is, you look at God talking to Moses, and Moses says, "Who are you? What is your name?" And God responded, "I am." He's not saying I exist. Saying I am existence. That everything that I study about science can fit within that.
Yes, and not only that, it's you know, one of the things that I came in the conclusions into the mid or late 20s is that, as we said in many of our episodes, we have to think, and everything we do, we start on thinking. That's philosophy. Philosophy came for love of wisdom from the Greek. No, science is just a little part of thinking, you know, that deals with the reality that you can see, touch, and experiment on.
Yeah.
But there's so much more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And trying, when I realize in that point in my life that trying to define God with just a small portion of thinking, it instantly came to my mind the image of Thomas Aquinas and his dream. No, he was in his dream. Thomas Aquinas, there was a little boy that was in the beach doing a hole in the sand. No, and the little boy, Thomas approached to the little boy and said, "Hey, what are you doing? I want to feed the sea here in my." Are you crazy? Do you know how big is the sea? Look at your hole you're doing there. And the boys look at Thomas Aquinas and say, then how do you pretend to understand the Trinity in your little brain, in your little mind? So that was boom for me.
Yeah.
And when we shoot the Plato's cave, you know, you know, the things, what is real versus what is tangible, and we discover that, you know, tangible doesn't last forever, but math, the principle of math, holds forever, right? So that was also an eye opener for me, that the what science can grasp is not even going to be big enough to discover truth, nevertheless to discover God.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about I won't say two different things, but two topics that with science, you cannot discover God because it's outside of its realm. No?
Yeah.
But one of the things that you can do in science, it's like the psalm said, you can discover how wonderful is the creation of God. And what I think, you know, God is even so merciful with humankind because he could make a big but finite universe. But as long as we can see, we have to play with our mind on the universe. So many things that they're still discover, you know, that grasp our intellect, attract our intellect on that.
Well, even the fact that we know now that what we see, we have to use the term the observable universe.
That's true.
Because we don't know.
Yes.
We don't even know how big the universe is.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the universe could go on infinitely. And we just don't know that. We are now really faced with the limits of what we can not just understand, but what we can observe.
Oh, and take this. Whenever we are going to do the series of physics, we have to say this too. About even when we have the observable universe, we have matter and we have energy, and that can only explain from 5 to 10% of what we see, because we also have dark matter
And dark energy.
And dark energy that we absolutely have no clue.
Yes.
About that.
Yeah.
And that's about, between dark matter and that dark energy, that's about 90% of we cannot explain.
Well, so, and the last thing I want to talk about as far as the positives in our experiences is, and I would love to do a series sometime on fiction.
Yeah.
Because for me, a big part of this journey into reconciling God and the sciences is my imagination. Because it you have to use your imagination to be able to see and not completely understand, but begin to see how everything fits together. This image of, you know, we used a painting a few episodes ago mm-hmm. of God with a compass. Remember that?
Yeah.
And this image of God as the great mathematician, the great scientist, and seeing God as the ultimate imagination, you know, that he spoke creation into being and it made sense.
Yes.
Right? That that when you look at how everything works together so perfectly. I remember when I first learned about the atomic model mm-hmm. and you know, my father worked in a number of different engineering firms mm-hmm. and I remember one project that he did some work on was I think it was in Nevada, there one of the large waste facilities for nuclear waste. Mm-hmm. I remember doing a project on that in high school and learning about, you know, the decay mm-hmm. of radioactive materials, but in that learning about, you know, the model of the atom, you know, the protons and neutrons and electrons and how they decayed. But in learning about that, learning about the fact that, you know, you have an atom that is mostly empty space.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have within that, you have this nucleus, which is mostly empty space.
Yeah.
And then you look within the protons and neutrons to the quarks, mm-hmm. which between them is mostly empty space.
Yes.
And you keep getting smaller and smaller and you're seeing all this empty space and it's just energy, fluctuations of energy. Mm-hmm. And you look at now some of the theories into, you know, atomic field theory mm-hmm. where it is these fields where the particles they're not particles, they're just waves. Fluctuations yes. or waves within mm-hmm. these fields. So we have this a universe that is pretty much nothing. And yet it all works so that I can come to this table and it feels like something's there.
Yes.
What kind of a mind could imagine that?
Yeah. I never thought about that until now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So one of the things we wanted to touch on a little bit then was, and this is kind of a primer because I know that we're going to be going into a lot of these topics in the future, but looking at some of the ways that people see faith when they look at it from the outside.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about the people that I knew growing up that believed in a young earth. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a growing number of YouTube channels on both sides of the flat earth argument. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating that it is becoming as big as it is, mm-hm, arguing like, no, that there's, you know, the earth is flat or the earth is round. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was settled, you know, over 2,000 years ago. But one of the arguments for, not all, but some people that argue for a flat earth is, well, that's what it says in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's a very, once again, literalistic view of scripture. But I think there are a lot of people that when they look at Christians, that's what they see. They see someone that says, this is what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. If anything contradicts it or contradicts the way I read it, then it must be wrong or there must be some conspiracy.
Yes.
It is a very, I think a lot of people look at Christianity as very anti-intellectual.
Yeah, and that's one view, definitely. I found in you know, during the years that there are some even one of my classmates from school, you know, that became atheists, they think that, you know, Christians are just immature people. As mm-hmm. long as they start maturing, they will realize that there's no God. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, they, and that's, thinking about that, that's kind of pride, right? You know, you guys, you don't know, we are atheists, we really discovered that there's no God, something like that, no?
Yeah.
So that's another view. And on some people in the scientific community, no, that, you know, we are scientists, no, we have PhD, we do a lot of things. We know that there is no God, so you Christians must be very mature mm-hmm. people. You need to start maturing. You know? That's another issue. No,
I would even say it's true on the other side for a lot of people. Uh-huh. Well, I'm a Christian, and you don't understand.
Uh-huh.
I think it all comes down to, you know, what was one of the biggest heresies mm-hmm. in the past. You know, one of the earliest heresies in the church. But you know, that has come, you know, in a number of different ways is Gnosticism.
Yeah.
And this idea that there is a secret knowledge. As long as I know the secret knowledge. And I have found in my own life the different ways that can creep in so easily. But whether it's, you know, the secret knowledge is science
mm-hmm.
or the secret knowledge is my understanding of scripture.
Yeah.
Or this, you know, that as long as you know, and it really is becomes an us versus them.
Yeah.
Where when you look at the world that God created and you said, you know what? God knows where each person is.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows what each person knows. And I think sometimes God looks at each one of us and says, if you only understood
mm-hmm.
how it all actually fits together.
Yeah.
You would put all of this, you know, kind of silly arguments away
mm-hmm.
and just say, you know, let's give glory to God because of what he's done.
And you're right. And that's one of the reasons that we sit together in this channel, because we want to open that dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
This channel is, we are doing this because we really believe that even approaching with humility and with sincere heart, we mm-hmm. can have a dialogue
mm-hmm.
about this. No.
Yeah.
And the reason that we are both, you know, science and mathematics lovers, and we are Catholics, with, you know, going deep into the journey in our faith. And this is a reason for extending, you know, for all of you that are looking at us, you know, we love to hear your questions. Your,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just say, you know, why I believe, why I don't believe, because there must be some misconceptions around whatever. But if we approach with sincere heart,
mm-hmm.
we can get on this journey together. And I mm-hmm. like your view on saying us versus them, you know? Because that's the division, and, you know, diabolos, the devil,
mm-hmm.
comes from the Latin diabolos, which is to divide.
Mm-hmm. No.
Whenever mm-hmm. you see us versus them, hey, you see that the enemy has put his hand there.
Yeah.
Us versus them. It was not that like that in the beginning. We see in Genesis, God wants to be with Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
always visiting in the afternoon. How are yeah. you doing, guys? No.
Yeah.
And right now with Jesus Christ that didn't say us versus them.
Mm-hmm.
He wants everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You look at the compassion
yes.
that Jesus had for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, what was the one type of person that Jesus actually got angry with?
Mm-hmm.
Or the people that says, I have all the answers. This is, you know, a very closed view of the world.
Yeah.
And had no room for, you know, and he was talking to the Jewish religious leaders, had no room for all these sinners, which I always thought was, yeah. was very interesting, because, you know, that, well, they're pretty bad sinners too.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, that this love and this welcoming in of everyone. And so that's one of the things that we want to do on mm-hmm. this channel. We want to welcome everyone in, regardless of where you are with your faith mm-hmm. or lack of faith. But as I said at the beginning, this, you know, we're not two guys that have it all figured out.
Yes, definitely.
You know, we are continuing to grow in our understanding of God and our faith. And as I said, you know, sharing my story, I went through this period in my life where I let it all go, mm-hmm. and then I gained it back again. But I remember this period where I said, you know what, I'm not going to go through that again. I know, mm-hmm. not because I will never have any questions again, or even sometimes doubts, mm-hmm. but I've seen the world without God in it, and I don't want it.
Yeah, you know,
and it's not then a wishful thinking now that I can say, oh, I really wish that God existed, but it is this that my view of God has grown so much that there really isn't anything that can shake that faith in me anymore. Mm-hmm. My view of God will continue to grow because God is infinite.
Yes, yes. You know? We are also in the journey, either, you know, having more or trying to know more about how God interact with us personally. What does he want from us? No. And also the beautiful of what he was created. And I think Seth and I, we both share, you know, wow, this is a great world. I mm-hmm. I would like to explore it. And just God make it so big that we cannot even thinking on grasping everything. No?
Yeah.
But I think I like your view on, you know, let's do it together.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Let's not exclude anybody on this journey. And if you're here with a sincere, open heart, you know, just drop your question there.
Yeah, yeah. Any doubts? Any thoughts?
Yes.
Leave them in the comments, and you know, we'll do our best to address them. You know, this is something that, you know, and we will continue to share a lot of the questions that we've had in our lives, both about God, but also about how, you know, the world works.
Yes,
and that this is just hopefully the beginning of this journey. So one of the things, the last things that I wanted to share, and you know, Cesar and I were talking about this beforehand, mm-hmm. But this, it's one of the Psalms, and I just want to read a few verses from this, looking at how God interacts with the world. Mm-hmm. This is Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their word to the ends of the world. So this image of God here as knowledge, mm-hmm. that the words, you know, we look at how it says, how it's described in Genesis, that God spoke and the world was made.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, the word, the Greek word used in scripture is for the word of God. You know, one of the names for Jesus, for the Son of God, is the word
of God.
Is logos, mm-hmm. which is knowledge.
Oh.
So this knowledge that God spoke and the world was made. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a word of magic.
Yeah.
It was one of the other words that comes from logos, mm-hmm. is logic.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That God isn't just this old magician up in the clouds that God is logical.
Yes.
God is knowledge. And everything makes sense because God is the author of all knowledge, of all logic. Mm-hmm. It all fits together. And so that's what we're going to continue to explore.
Yeah, that's a beautiful psalm. I like ending with that. And we also, in this episode, share about a little about our history. So also, if you want to share about that, please let us know and put it in the comments.
Absolutely. We hope you have enjoyed this conversation. And as Cesar has said a few times, we really hope that you share a little bit of, you know, some of your questions, some of your experiences with us. And we want to continue this conversation. I also want to remind you, if you go to thatnerdycatholic.com, you can sign up for our email list so that you can get updates when we put new things out. You can go to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch to get some of this cool swag. Mm-hmm. And please subscribe to this channel. If you listen to this as a podcast, please rate it in the podcast app of choice, the one that you use. Like this video if you're on YouTube, and share it, either the video or the podcast, with your friends so we can get this out to more people and grow this community and grow this conversation that we're having. So we'll see you next time. God bless.
Bye bye.
System shut down.